Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. The Holy Family, we rightly focus on them on this fourth Sunday of Advent. And the story of Mary, which our angels and everybody did a great job, is a story of divine recruitment. Mary is chosen because of her faithfulness to be the bearer of the Christ child. And although we didn't hear from Luke chapter 1, it's a story we know pretty well, don't we? The angel Gabriel comes to Mary with this miraculous plan, and she actually responds positively. Let it be with me according to your word. And just to double down on the divine activity, Mary goes to see her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth and Zechariah, who were older in age, had struggled to have a child, and the Holy Spirit saw fit to have them have a son, who we have heard about the last few weeks, John the Baptist. So there was a whole lot of Holy Spirit happening in those days. And Mary is at the center of all of it. But we didn't hear in our gospel story about too much about Mary today. Instead, we heard about Joseph. In the Gospel of Matthew, Joseph is seen in a much more integral part of this Christmas story. And he's kind of like the forgotten one sometimes. And so today I wanted to emphasize Joseph and why he's so important and the role that he played in Jesus' life and how that affected Jesus' ministry. So if you read the Gospel of Matthew, the first 17 verses, because our gospel reading for today picks up on verse 18, the first 17 verses is a lineage, and it starts with the very beginning and who begat who and who came from who and all of this line of descendants leading up to Jesus. And Joseph came from the line of King David, which is incredibly important for the prophecies of the Old Testament, which said the Messiah, the promised one, would come from the line of King David. So without Joseph, that gets missed. And so Joseph is chosen by God, just as Mary was. And there they are, engaged to be married, but not yet living together, as the scripture says. And it says, Mary was found to be with child. So if you think the story of Mary is wild, I think the story of Joseph is that too. If your bride-to-be said to you, got some news, I'm pregnant, but don't worry, it was the Holy Spirit, and the child to be born will be holy. You would go, holy moly, not sure I'm buying it. And so what it says is that Joseph, being a righteous man, was going to dismiss her privately. In those days, a marriage arrangement was conducted between the groom and the father of the bride. It was a financial transaction, and one of the conditions was that the bride, if purported to be a virgin, needed to be a virgin. And ipso facto, pregnant kind of invalidates the deal. So, what Joseph could have done is exposed her publicly and said, she is not a virgin, she's pregnant, and it's not my child. And Mary would have been shamed by her whole community. There's an element of this to this day, of unwed single mothers. He could have done that, and he could have done worse. There are traditions and provisions that a woman who is engaged and has a child outside of that arrangement could have even been stoned. But Joseph was a righteous man, and his plan was not to expose her, but to dismiss her privately and presumably get on with the rest of his life. But the angel Gabriel, sneaky as he was, not only came to Mary in person, but comes to Joseph in a dream. And if you're a close reader of Scripture, there's another Joseph who was famous for his dreams. But here, the angel Gabriel comes to Joseph in a dream and tells him the divine plan. Not to worry, but that the child will be holy, and not just a holy child, as all children are, but a Savior. The long-promised Messiah will come from Mary. And so Joseph takes Mary as his wife, and they raise Jesus together. Imagine if Joseph had said no. That was the premise of our skit today, was what if Mary said no? But Joseph needed to be part of this as well. If Joseph had said no, even after Mary said yes, can you imagine what Jesus' life would have been like with a 15-year-old single mother shunned by her community? Abject poverty, pain, and suffering for the holy child. Instead, Joseph saying yes meant at bare minimum that Jesus would grow up with food to eat and a home to live in. And that Joseph, treating Jesus as his own son, cared for him and nurtured him, taught him a skill at a trade as a carpenter. Because keep in mind, Jesus' public ministry starts at age 30. For 30 years, Jesus is simply son of Joseph and Mary. What we might call a middle-class tradesman going about his life. But the love, that's our focus today. The love that Jesus received from his parents. The love that Mary gave to her son. The love that Joseph gave to what we might call his stepson, shaped Jesus. Jesus learned how to love because the love he was given by his parents, as we all do. And Joseph was steadfast. And personally, I've always kind of related to Joseph as a person who is a stepfather. To be very clear about not being a biological father, but to play that role in providing care and nurture and support that is just as unconditional as any other parent would be. Joseph is chosen by God because he is righteous, because he comes from the line of King David in the fulfillment of all of those prophetic scriptures that talk about the deliverance of God's people. And so today, we give thanks for the fathers in our life, the fathers who nurtured us, the grandfathers, the mentors, the teachers, those who cared and supported and gave us a sense of God's love. We remember Joseph, we remember Mary, and of course, we focus our attention most of all on Jesus, born to us a Savior. As we anticipate the celebration of Christmas and gathering with family and friends, let our focus be on the work of God, delivering to us a Savior, who gave everything for you and me out of the deep love that God has for us. And for that, we give God thanks. Amen.